The weather for today, mostly sunny with a high near 42. West winds between 10 and 16 miles per hour with gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 29. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 45. Currently in Wausau, we have overcast skies, 33 degrees at 9:01. Well, we're having some technical problems with our intro music. So let me just say, welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. And today we begin a brand new book of the Bible, the book of Colossians. We begin in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. But first, the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself. It may not be that of the management group here at WNRB or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. So we begin today, as we always do, with prayer. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Paul was an apostle because that's what Jesus wanted him to be. You know, if it would have been up to Paul, he would not have been a Christian, let alone an apostle of Jesus Christ. The fact is, in the past, he had hated Jesus and he hated the church until one day Jesus knocked him off his feet and said, quit persecuting me because I'm God. And that's when Paul changed. And that's when Jesus appointed him to be an apostle. Verse 2 says that this book is addressed to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saints and they were faithful. In other words, they were believing. Faithful means believing. Saints means holy. They were holy and they believed the word of God. Which isn't surprising, because to be holy, we must be believing. People are what they believe. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we believe the Bible, if we truly believe the Bible, then we're going to want to live the Bible. If we have faith in Christ, then we will want to serve Christ. Verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. God has a purpose for every Christian who he brings across our path. And therefore, we should thank God for them. We should thank God for them, even if we're not quite sure why God has brought them to our attention. You know, Jesus uses everything that happens to us, so he will certainly use everyone, especially every Christian who we have contact with. Verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints, and once again we see that what we believe determines how we behave. If we have faith in Jesus and therefore appreciate Jesus, then we're going to have a special affection for the people that he indwells. And that's not to say that we're going to agree with everything that every single Christian says or does. However, and here's the key, to the extent that Jesus is reflected in that person, to that extent, we will appreciate them and find joy in their presence. Verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. If you're a Christian, God has something waiting for you in heaven. You say, what is it? I don't know. We don't know exactly what it is because we've never seen it, because we've never been to heaven. And then if we did go to heaven and see it, we wouldn't be able to describe it when we got back. That's what the Bible teaches. So I don't know what that is that we have in heaven as Christians, but I don't have to know really, because I know it's going to be good. And I do know that it will eventually include a new body on the new earth. And I also know that's going to be a whole lot better than the one that we have right now. And I also know this, heaven's going to be infinitely better than the only alternative, which is hell. For those who don't know Christ. So I don't care what we have in heaven, as long as it's not the alternative to heaven. That's how I'd look at it. I'm willing to be surprised. Verse 6, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And he's talking here about the Word of God. And he says that the Word of God was bringing forth fruit, and that's what the Word of God does. In other words, when the Bible is proclaimed clearly, it's going to create faith in those who believe, and it will change people's lives for the better. God's Word does not need to be spiced up with man's foolish attempts to make it entertaining. God's Word simply needs to be proclaimed, and it will do its job. Verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Paul refers to this Epaphras person as a servant of Christ. He was a servant and a faithful minister of Jesus. Notice how those two things go together. You see, if a Christian will serve Christ, if they are willing to serve and not worry about being served, if they are willing to give and to give of themselves and to put Jesus first, then God will use them to do his will. Someone says, well, I don't care about being used by God. It doesn't matter to me either way. Well, then you probably need to be saved, because it doesn't sound like you are. Because that's not the attitude of a real Christian. A Christian loves Jesus. And a real Christian wants to be used by Jesus to do good things. Verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Notice how the Colossian Christians had love in the Spirit. If we are under the control of the Holy Spirit, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to love God, and we're going to love Jesus, and we're going to love others, including even our enemies. And that doesn't mean we're going to enjoy everything that everyone does. It simply means that when we are filled with the Spirit of God, what people do is secondary to the love of God that fills us and flows out of us. Things just do not matter that much to a Spirit-filled Christian. How other people behave towards us won't matter that much to Spirit-filled Christians, because they're too caught up in Christ to be overly concerned about things like that. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The apostle mentions knowing the will of God. Many Christians seek God's will as if it's lost, and it has to be found. Like the guy says, God does not send his people on a spiritual scavenger hunt. Searching for his will is not that difficult. It's really not that complicated. Notice verse 9 again. I think it'll click with you right here. Listen. It says in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom and spiritual understanding would include knowing what the Bible says and how it applies to life situations. That is it. That is the key to being in the will of God. You see, when you are applying the Bible to what you do and how you do it, when you apply Scripture to what you say, and when it governs your attitude, you don't have to be concerned about finding God's will. You are in it. When you let the Word of God guide you, you are in God's will. God is driving. All you have to do is hang on and go where He takes you. So let's read 9 and 10 together. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There is so much packed into verse 10 that I could spend a month easily talking about it. But I'm not going to do that. So let me crystallize verse 10 for you the best I can. This is what God is saying. The more we know about God, the more we know God, the more we know about God, and the more we apply His Word to our life, the more we will get to know God. And when that happens, we will have more to apply. And when we apply it, we'll know God in a deeper way. Do you see how that goes? It just keeps building on itself. It's a spiritual vortex that lifts us from the ordinary and catapults us to new spiritual heights. And it all starts with applying the simple truth of God's Word that we know right now. That's the ignition which starts the spiritual engine. And so, don't wait until you know more about God and know more about the Bible and what He wants. Start applying the truth that you know right now. Start with the little things. The Bible says, do not despise the day of small things. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Why does God want us to be strong? According to His glorious power, He tells us, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. That's God's will for us, right there. Patience and long suffering, perseverance and patience, refers to, includes putting up with unfairness. That's God's will for you if you're a Christian, to put up with unfairness. It means tolerating the very difficult without a sinful response. Someone says, well, that's not fair. I got news for you. Nothing's fair. What in the world is fair? The Bible says that God does not give us what our sins deserve if we're Christians. That's not fair. But no one ever complains about that. Jesus was beaten, tortured, and crucified for our sins. That's not fair either. But I never hear anyone complaining about that either. And God expects His people to tolerate that which would cause the unsaved, the non-Christian, to explode with rage. It's true. Example, Moses. Here's a guy, God's leader, led the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, and he put up with the Israelites whining, complaining, bickering, threatening to stone him, threatening to turn their backs on God, threatening to go back to Egypt. And Moses responded to them with kindness and patience and prayer for 40 solid years. And then one time, after 40 years of this stuff, he snapped. And he responded sinfully. And God said, Moses, for that, you will not enter the promised land. Why? Because God expects his people, today that would be Christians, to tolerate that which would cause the unsaved to explode with rage. 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Our sin has disqualified us. Mankind is not qualified to enter heaven, because the qualification is spiritual and moral perfection. One black mark, one sin, big or small, slams the gates of heaven shut right in our face. We can't get in. And we, you know, people can stand outside and pound on the gates, like Fred Flintstone after he let the cat out for the night, but they're not getting in. Sin disqualifies us. We've broken the rules. We can't play. And that's real bad. But there's good news. The Bible says that God qualifies us. Through Jesus Christ, he has removed all of our black marks, all of our trespasses, all of our sins, and replaced them with Jesus' moral and spiritual perfection. God has made Christians fit for heaven. The gates are wide open for us through Jesus Christ. 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Christians have been rescued out of darkness, which means that we've been rescued from the controlling power of sin, and we've been rescued from hell. We've been rescued from the controlling power of sin. The devil can't slap us around like a punching bag anymore. Unless we give him permission. We don't have to live under the control of moral darkness or sin. And something else, we don't have to live in darkness in this sense, controlled by the ridiculous and warped and dark reasoning that leads to frustration and failure. We don't have to live under that. We've got the Word of God. When we come to Jesus Christ, God installs a light bulb in our soul. And every time we take in the Word of God, that light gets brighter. And the chances of us being influenced by the warped reasoning of the world becomes less likely. 14. In whom, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, the blood that he spilt paid for our sins. We've been redeemed off the road to hell. And we've been placed on the road to heaven if we are Christians. Speaking of Jesus, 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Stop there. Do you know that Jesus is the image of the invisible God? That means Jesus is the complete and total and final revelation of God. When you have seen the kindness and the love and the goodness and the wisdom and the holiness and yes, even the wrath of Jesus, you have seen the kindness, the love, the goodness, the wisdom, the holiness, and the wrath of the Father. And so if you want to know what God is like, read the Bible and learn what Jesus is like, because they are one and the same. God is not hiding himself from man today. He is revealing himself to man through Jesus Christ. People say, well, I think God is like this, and I think God is like that. And many times what they say is just complete and total nonsense. It's just the imagination of their own minds. It has nothing to do with reality. It's what they think. Look to Jesus. Look at Jesus. Listen to Jesus in the Word of God. And you'll know what the real God is like. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is called the firstborn. Now, that doesn't mean he was the first one to be created, because he wasn't created. The Son of God is as eternal as the Father. Actually, firstborn in Scripture was a title. It was a title for the one in charge of the family in the absence of the Father. Consequently, When Jesus is called the firstborn of all creation, what's the Bible saying? What's God saying? He's saying that Jesus is in charge of all creation. He's running the show. Now, it's true that he's letting evil run its course. But after that's done, he's going to make sure everything is exactly the way he wants it to be, exactly the way it should be. Christ has the final say in everything. 16. For by him, by Christ, all things were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers refer to categories of angels. Everything, including all the angels, has been made by Jesus. Everything in the spirit world, everything in the material world, has been made by Christ. When the Bible says that Jesus came unto his own, that's what it's talking about. Jesus became a part of what he made when he entered this world and became a human being. He became like us in order to help us. He became like us in order to save us. 16 again, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Boy, don't overlook that. Everything was made by Jesus, but everything was also made for him. Everyone and everything was designed and created by the Son of God for himself. He made everything just exactly the way he wanted it to be. Angels, man, animals, the oceans, the mountains, the entire earth, everything out in outer space has been made by Jesus for himself. Everything that has been made for him to enjoy. Do you realize that the world does not revolve around us and what we want? The world is here to serve the wishes of its creator, Jesus Christ. So, when things don't go the way we would like, the proper response from us would be, what should we expect? There are no guarantees. There are no guarantees that we will get what we want or have things the way we want them to be, because that's not the purpose of this world. You say, I mean, I can never be happy? God doesn't want me to be filled with joy? No, I'm not saying that at all. But the only way we can find joy and contentment and satisfaction is to, number one, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Number two, be filled with the Spirit of God, filled with Jesus, because that's what we were created for. And when you're fulfilling your purpose in life, you're going to feel the way you ought to feel. Verse 17. And he is before all things. Stop there. He is before all things. And obviously, Jesus had to be before all things because the Bible says he's the one who created all things. So he was here before there was anything. Which also means that the Son of God doesn't need anything. The Son of God doesn't need anyone or anything. He existed just fine before he created the angels and before he created the world and before he created man. He is totally self-satisfied, totally self-sufficient. He made the world because he wanted to, not because he needed to. And I say that because several years ago I had somebody come up to me, and they said this just as sincerely as you possibly could. They said, oh, God created man because he was lonely, and he needed someone to love him. You know, that is the biggest bunch of sentimental nothing that you will ever hear. If God had been lonely, he never would have created man to fill that gap, because that would be like you trying to find companionship in an earthworm. Man doesn't cut it. And by the way, man does not satisfy God. God satisfies man. The Son needed nothing. And if he lived by himself, he would lack nothing, because everything about him is perfect, because he is God. 17, one more time. And he is before all things, and by him all things are held together. I love this verse. the entire universe, every atom that makes up all matter everywhere, would explode into pieces if Jesus ever released his grip on it. He holds all things together. I remember reading several years ago how the atoms are held together by this mysterious force, and nobody knows what it is. It just doesn't make sense. They ought to just explode. But there's like, I think I read there was 50 pounds of pressure holding each atom together, keeping it from exploding. And they can't figure out what it is. And I got news for them. They're never going to figure it out in a test tube. It's a matter of revelation. Jesus Christ holds all things together. That's what the Bible says. Our lives and everything else are in his sustaining hands. Jesus is our life, our hope, our King, our Savior, our Creator, and our Sustainer. Questions, comments? My address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. My email address is versebyverse@live.com, versebyverse@live.com. I want to thank you for spending this time with me. I'm with you every Monday morning from 9 until 9:30 right here on WNRBLP 93.3 FM in Wausau. Until next week, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.
Mong tia tua zi xiong lu ya ya dan da mong mua lon tho pe zhong yo xiong xia jiao yi mong tian ji zo ge zhong du zhou luo zhu luo de luo tuo mong bo chuo gou yi men a ma ti sa jia leng yo kho ma tin yo pe de gu zhe yan jin ji mong bo me ga no ji ta luan di dou ying nie ge pleng ge yi cha ple ta she de nya a me ga nhiệt đồ là mua lỡ lứ khứ nhiệt chùa khứ có nhiệt luôn nu mong tê chu chỉ chẳng chẳng lỡ lỡ chỉ cờ cho lỡ tu khen lỡ qua nâng dây sầu đại tớ hậu lúc lỡ dây trâu cá no tờ tia co vừa giờ thơ cho vũ khoa co chùa giờ luôn dâu tờ pha hô có tí chỉ tơ cờ 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 cho sầu ly cha yêu thế là cho mua chơi tu chỉ nó mù khía chủng cứ ti ki 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 chi tao li do pe chua leng keng 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 pe hai ning ko pao chi chua kwa 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 lo pe mua shi che shi khia la yo jie tu hou thau plau ne chai tao tie hu thong pla tie ho tra cho pe tu ku zo tie nu ho tao tua la pe cho ke ma zơ ma je ne lung be yo mua tang tie cho lò kia mấy tu mấy nhuộm cho xít của lời mò cây mông
không chứ hai u yếu
hai hai u
u thọ thì bên mông mỏi tùng đầu còn được phá hồn rồi nè u sa hà tiền được mông chính sự giờ to từ co co lò lia so số bỏ ba mò mỹ nọ nồng xí nọ nè giờ cú bố chạy cú nhưng cờ lửa tía chịu ô cha cú nhổ hoa sao chỗ chi chồng sư cú nhắm một cờ tùng đầu nó có cú chơi còn để cú tuồng cú lò lửa cú mỗi ít lò lửa phát tàn rồi cháu mình nhầm không nhau họ căn tu nọ hơi tiền do nơi trường trường hơi tiền nơi giờ nừng mông lư mông thả mông lo hồ mông nọ chị nơi chị đi lò mùng thiếu bê tuần tới phá hồ nọ cận họ giờ nơi họ xóa hơi tiền nơi do ông mông xuất khổ sứ ở chuyện đấy nơi do tiền mù ông mau xuất khổ tàn nọ chị chơi ta cờ lên nữa
nhà lão vui chưa ó tuần tới là tầng có hai con mà giờ tuần tới thở khở tuần tới bón rồng tuần tới quấn rồng quấn rùa sứ ó bê tu chan tới tiền mà giờ tụng tử pha hậu đó.
Đúng rồi, là vừa chữ thế giờ lùi. Nên chúng ta tao hả thìa, cái hai này mong dạy hai này ở chỉ nhẹ khởi tinh khởi tù, nhẹ chỉ tận đông đó xưa nè. Có bộ bộ hả thìa, đỡ mong, đỡ phát kỳ, đỡ ăn ký, đỡ mẹ gà, đỡ khá mình, đỡ giờ làm mặn, lọ bộ lên giờ bế mong chỉ xưa nè. Để xưa bế mong chỉ khởi chế, lùa tổ cho bế lúc tế chờ chế, lùa chế nguồn chân cho mùa lùa thủ ta là xưa nè. Sống lưu theo là chỉ tạo ý tù, ổn tệ nữ yếu mù xưa nè. Tụng tới giờ, tới phá hậu. Giờ này mong chẳng chỉ khờ thế chê. Má của tôi bỏ má của cho một ô má của tù thế chê. Nên mong bởi dạng ra hò.
要做好一个母子得疼我心，要做好一年的多心情，面对母子得了苦情情，一到天要热你干，我这姑娘做。 要走。